Thank you. So I think it's always easiest to start with a few quick introductions. So Jason Lambert, Sony Pictures, content licensing and metadata. Content licensing is a pretty broad term, so it bears defining so that you can understand the perspective with which I approach some of these topics. So content licensing for us is stock footage, it's photos, it's clips from our feature films, it's posters, it's really any of the ancillary assets that we can try to drive additional revenue from after the release of a particular film. David gave an example earlier, I think it was the AI panel, about an Apple commercial that I think we probably all remember for the iPhone, where there were all the people saying hello, 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 and they needed to use clips. So that request comes to a group like mine. In fact, that request did come to a group like mine. And by the time it got to us, we didn't have any time to help them find anything else. It was like, we know we want this clip, and deliver it. So we made that happen. But it actually unlocked a real opportunity for us. We realized, gosh, if we had better data around all of this content, maybe we could actually say, oh, you're looking for hello. Well, here are 15 other clips that might actually apply to this particular commercial. It came up with Macy's. It comes up with all sorts of things. So we embarked on this initiative to create a frame-based metadata profile for every feature that comes through our pipeline so that when somebody starts asking those questions, we can actually drill into the moment and help serve that up to whoever that customer is. And in getting involved with that data, it really sort of spiraled into this huge opportunity across the studio where this type of data can be used in consumer products, it can be used by our marketing teams to figure out what clips can be used in what use cases, what the rights are around certain moments within a film, what rights attach to a certain entity within a clip that shows up in a film, what our rights are around posters. I mean, it just goes on and on. So it's been a real eye-opening experience for us to realize that there's this intersection between monetization and realizing revenue and all of this data that is being used to drive the business. And I think with our two panelists here, and I'll let you guys introduce yourself, we kind of hit it from both sides of that equation, right? So Holly, if you want to introduce yourself and your role at Fox.
Sure. I'm Holly Choi. I've been with 20th Century Fox for about 13 years. And in that time, I've done everything from studio operations, digital asset management, digital screeners, and now I am the proud owner of the Intellectual Property Master.
Very good. Dan?
Hi, everybody. My name is Dan Cruz. I've been at Marvel for almost 2 years now, and I oversee the partnership team, which essentially means I work with brands to figure out how to work with Marvel across all of our different lines of business. So that includes everything from digital to publishing to on-site activations to our social channels to our TV shows. Just excited to be here. Thank you.
So collecting, organizing, controlling, mastering the data all the way through to how do we leverage this data and reach our customers by finding these new revenue opportunities. I think it was Shear earlier who talked about it's not necessarily a digital revolution, it's a revenue stream revolution. That's a monetization revolution. So one of the questions that we talked about a little bit before this was, how are you guys leveraging data today to identify what those new monetization opportunities could be, and how is data helping you create more personalized experiences, whether that's for the consumer or maybe for the business customer on the brand side?
I'll go first. So you know, for Marvel, it's a little difficult, right? Because we do play in so many different spaces, and our audience looks completely different from a publishing standpoint to a digital, right? So publishing, you'd expect it to be very male-focused and very male-heavy, while socially speaking, we're very female, actually, heavy. And it's quite difficult to figure out how each individual business user that we have, how to constantly reach out to the different consumers and what makes best sense for them, right? Because while something may be smart for a publisher, is a totally wrong message for our social channels or a wrong message even for our TV shows. So it's always striking that balance of what is best for the Marvel brand across all these different business units and how do we speak to our consumers and speak to our brands in particular across those individually.
So in my role, we're really sort of that source of the data that he's really looking for.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, we collect data from all over the studio, different systems, and pull it all together. So I think for us, it's generally, I'm kind of on the enabling end of that question, right? So it's making sure that the data is quality, is the highest of quality possible, and then providing it in a way that people can get to the data that they're looking for pretty easily, right?
Yeah. Dan, you talked about when you're identifying these opportunities, are you getting the data that you need in order to make those business decisions to determine whether a brand is going to speak to a particular audience or whether one sales opportunity is going to lead to another sales opportunity? Like, is that data getting to you? Or?
it's hard to say. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on the particular vertical, right? So I live in a world where it's very vertical focused. We have a very strong auto story. We have a very strong tech story. We have a soft retail story. And working across all the different Disney entities, we get kind of piecemealed a lot of this different information, and then it's on my team to kind of figure out what is best going to resonate with the client. So it's hard. You know, sometimes we get a dump of data that's just too much and isn't necessarily relevant to a particular advertiser or to a particular brand on how they want to work with us. And half my day is kind of filtering out what that data point looks like so that when we go in and talk to a client or talk to a brand, it's hitting on exactly who they want to speak about, right? Because even when, from a brand level, they have several different entry points as well, who they're trying to reach. So, you know, with Marvel, again, being so kind of big and expansive, I can go into a GM and say, hey, here are the five things that best fit into who you're trying to reach. Or it could only be three things if we're talking about a Chevy Malibu, right? It really depends on the brand that you're looking to talk to.
It's interesting that you talk about getting too much data, because some of the panelists at the beginning of the day when we were talking about AI were talking about collect as much data as you can and then collect more data, which is great, but then it's how do you funnel the right data to the business in order to answer the questions that you actually care about?
Yeah, and you know what's actually kind of interesting is that from a content perspective, their data is completely different, right? So while the information I'm getting from a sellable sponsorship, branding, partnership type of purview, our branded team and our content guys are getting completely different information as well, right? So it's a balance of, you know, this something that CB, our editor-in-chief, wants to do from a publishing standpoint. Is it relevant to what maybe I can go talk to another brand about in partnering with them? And it's always striking that balance where, you know, definitely not at Marvel, sales does not dictate or sponsorships does not dictate anything that we do from an edit standpoint, but I wish it did, but it doesn't. But, you know, but in particular, it's really interesting to see like how that two balances each other, because what CB sees is something that's usually completely different than what I see. And it's just a thing where it's like, well, maybe we just won't work together on this one because it just doesn't make sense from an audience perspective.
From the data perspective, you're at the other end of the chain, right? So you're probably trying to collect as much data as you can to get it into the system, or at least figure out what the right data is to go into the system. Is that
Yeah,
fair?
I think it's a common challenge, though, right? We collect all of the data, and we build these really great systems, and then the question becomes, so how do I get that back out that's in a usable way where somebody could use it in this way to really collaborate with other areas of the business and be able to find those common data points. And so I think that's a challenge that I think probably everybody's faced or is facing. So analytics is always a big question mark. So
is that where you see AI starting to play a role in what you're doing to help understand, if I pull all this data in, how you can gain some insights from that?
In my little nerd dreams, yes.
Your little, sorry.
I have lots of nerd dreams.
I think we all have a few nerd dreams in here.
I don't think I'm alone in that.
No, I don't. Do you see like AI machine learning? Is it improving how you're collecting data today, or is it more of this is a future thing that I really wish could be implemented that you had more access to?
Sure. I mean, in my daydreams about how I would utilize it, I think The first thing that comes to mind is data cleansing, right? Because I think we all sort of are living in these worlds where we have close to, you know, at least 30, but up to 100 years worth of data, mm-hmm. and some of it's very complete and some of it's not, just depending on how recent it is. So in order to really provide good data, I feel like machine learning and AI could be used to cleanse and fill, so just kind of find those gaps and fill them in. And then having that good, solid data would then support predictive analytics on the other end, which would then hopefully support some of these other needs that the business has.
Yeah, I think from our perspective, and this is where I briefly become a panelist and not a moderator, when we're talking about AI and the opportunities, David mentioned it earlier with the two killer apps. Like, I want something that will allow me to automate all of the rich metadata that we're creating. I've got a team of folks that is doing a lot of that heavy lifting and some AI and machine learning processes that are helping with that. But when you talk about being able to really understand what is in your content library, and maybe this does touch on what you're talking about, it's having those tools that will allow you to tell you exactly what is in this massive archive that you can't monetize today because you don't know what it is. And seeing the leaps that are being made in the last couple of years that are allowing tools that do much better at that than when we first started testing is exciting. On the compliance side as well, being able to have that killer app that will tell you, for us, it's not just compliance for nudity or language, but compliance around marketing restrictions. How can I identify an entity that tells me that I can't use the Red Cross logo in any of my promos or trailers or clips that are going onto YouTube without specifically going through and validating every clip with a human being and saying, no, there's not a Red Cross logo in there, or yes, there is a Red Cross logo in there. And some of the content vision stuff is starting to help you identify that stuff. Maybe it's not there yet, but when we talk about the dream of what would be, like, what would make my life so much easier, a system like that starts to really unlock things, and maybe we're getting closer to that. So how has this increased, looking at the topic for the panel, globalization, localization, personalization, right? How has increased globalization helped change the approach that you're using to either identify brand opportunities or identify the metadata that needs to come into your system? Has it changed at all as we've had a broader view of what our market actually is, but a compressed timeline for being able to make sure that content is relevant?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. The globalization of Marvel actually is something that we've started to really delve into from an international standpoint. You know, obviously here in the United States, Marvel is a known brand and it's huge. In Japan, it's not. And in Korea, it's massive. It's bigger than actually Disney. So understanding from a country by country basis kind of dictates what our strategy will be, right? So in Korea or in India, where Marvel actually is pretty big, like there is a sense from a content perspective to create things that are a little more broader, knowing that our fan base is X amount of people who have some type of baseline understanding of what Marvel does. But when it comes to a place like Japan and entering into that marketplace, you know, how do we create an opportunity to a customer doesn't even know if they even like this or even want this, right? And that starts from even rebranding how Marvel puts out their content and creating stuff that is very specific to local Japanese territory, where it's a, you know, we're creating characters that specifically are only for Japan and are going to start there and only live there. And then from my perspective, from a business, how do I then tie in a brand? And it's kind of like starting at a startup, right? And like re-educating an advertiser why they would even want to work with us on an unknown entity. And you know, it's funny, like here in the US, it's like, oh, trust us, work with us, we're Marvel. Like, it'll work itself out. And that's kind of what we have our discussions on that. But in Japan, it's a completely different discussion of like, who are you? Why are you not Mickey Mouse? Why are you trying to, you know, create content that, you know, our country doesn't even want it? So it is interesting, like, you know, and we don't know 100% what that looks like. We're still narrowing down what that is. Right now, it's too broad, I think. And we need to get even better at predicting who actually wants this content and who actually is going to consume this content. Because in the U.S., we have it pretty down tight on who that looks like. But I think abroad, we don't. And that's just an effect of us being new to certain markets.
Interesting. Holly?
So for us, it's been an interesting journey as well, because we have our local kind of the studio here, and you know, the domestic, you know, marketing information and, you know, all of the other information that's relevant locally, that's easy to gather, right? Because we know where it is and we can go get it. So in the international markets, and especially with the collapsing timelines of, you know, the release dates are getting closer and closer together, we really had to devise a system that will know that we need the data if it's not in a core system, and then know who to go to get it. And the system that we've built actually does do that. So we trigger out tasks to people in the different territories to be responsible for collecting the, you know, the French translation of the synopsis that we want to use in that market.
What's the thinking that goes into who to get that information from, or how you know that you're getting the gold standard of that particular field that's going to be the most useful to everybody else? Mm.
So we actually do have trusted sources that are, those are our people that do exactly that. So it's not their entire job, but it's part of their daily work that they're just responsible for making sure that that data is clean and pristine.
Good. We're about out of time, so I thought I would close with a question that I find interesting to talk to anybody in whatever their role is, as far as what they see their challenges in the future. If you addressing their challenges in the future, right? So if you had the easy button, right, that you could press and it would solve whatever that key problem is that relates to how you could better monetize the brands that you have, how you could better pull the data into your content, how you could better serve the end client of that data who's trying to license out that brand. Like, what is that problem and what is that solution that you need that you haven't seen or haven't felt like exists, it's not good enough yet for you to actually take advantage of it?
You know, for us, because we have so many different lines of business, and each one of those business units has a different priority and a different audience target and a different content strategy, I would love to be able to take every single one of those and aggregate it into just one thing and figure out what the common language is across all those things. And how do we then take that common language and bring it out to marketers or bring it out to our fans and say, hey, person X, you love Ant-Man. This is gonna be the thing. And here is the opportunity that ties Ant-Man into all the other things that we do. Because right now, you know, the way how we operate, like, yes, my team is integrated into every single one of these business units, but each one of these places that I essentially work with and work for, they are not integrated. And as much as we talk about integrating and creating messaging that lives across all these different things, you know, there's not a system in place that identifies the common goal of, or not even the common goal, the common audience member or the common person across all these different things. And how do you aggregate that massive information? And on top of that, our audience size is so big across the board that it's pretty difficult, right? Like, you know, I used to work at Spotify before my job at Marvel, and it was a lot easier to just aggregate one audience segment into a music lover, right? Mm-hmm. You're on Spotify, you love music, and you know, you are a fashionista if you listen to this playlist at this time, at this day. With Marvel, it's completely different because our fans love a comic book to the TV show to they hate the movies. Or they love the movies, hate the comic books, love the TV show. Or they just, you know what I mean? Like, so there's so many different segments of who we try to reach. It's quite difficult to identify the commonality across all of it.
Well, an additional difference that I hear that you're talking about is when you were at Spotify, you actually control the platform, right? So you've got a real good sense of who's consuming what. And there is that disconnect in the places where we sit from a studio perspective of being able to directly touch the consumer a lot of the time because you're passing it off to a different platform that's actually going to manage that relationship.
That's a great point. You know, we are agnostic to where things are going to live, right? We just want people to consume Marvel content wherever and whenever that may be.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's 100% right. Like at Spotify, it was so controlled that it was on this app and only on this app. And that's the only place. And it was easier to take all the information and really.
You had an easy button.
It was easy. It was easier.
Holly, easy button.
I think the easy button would be the ability. So I think we've done pretty well at getting the data into the system in a way that's useful for everyone. I think what I see as the easy button would be for our users to be able to come to our system and search, but have that search go across all the platforms that they have access to and then aggregate into one location for them. And I think that a lot of that has to do with learning how people search for the things that they're searching for in the different platforms, and then giving them one specific location that just knows them and is able to provide that all in one place.
Do you see AI, machine learning, natural language processing, all those playing into how you get to that solution?
Yeah, I think it would have to, right? Because everything, I know I've heard a lot about standardization today, but that's, I mean, you can have an enterprise standard, but a business level standard is something totally different in a lot of cases. So you would have to be able to understand all of those different use cases and then be able to aggregate it up into one standard way of producing it. So I think it would be absolutely imperative that you would use some sort of machine learning and AI.
I think it's interesting to me that both of you, without knowing what your answers were going to be, and maybe it's just because you're at a metadata conference, you're talking about having more data coming in, being able to understand that data better. It's about collecting more data, unlocking access to data. It's about being able to drive insights from that data. Like, it is all about the data, and it becomes... I know a lot of us in this room, we feel like we pound our heads against the wall trying to communicate this message up the chain, but it really is the message that needs to be communicated. And maybe there is this tendency that people have sometimes where they feel like they need to eat the whole elephant or boil the ocean, right? It's this massive problem that so much needs to be done with. But David mentioned it, Nona mentioned it, we've mentioned it at these panels a lot. If you add a little bit to a little bit, soon that little thing becomes a big thing. And being able to take these tiny bite-sized steps, moving the ball forward, even if it's just a yard, is helping us get to that ultimate goal where we can actually understand our content, understand our rights, and be able to make these insights that you guys are talking about that will, what was the phrase? Unlock the revenue stream revolution. I wrote that down earlier. I loved it. So I think that is all the time we have. Thank you, guys, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much, Jason. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Holly. Excellent.